I'm continuing a brand new mini-series entitled The Usual Suspects, Arresting the Notorious. Now, some of the usual suspects in the crime-ridden 20s and 30s used bravado. Some used bribery and some used brazen boldness to keep the authorities at bay. But Alfonso Gabriel, in other words, Al Capone, used a different tactic. And here's the tactic that he used. It is the tactic of confusion. Now, Capone rose from a petty hustler in Brooklyn to become the boss of the Chicago underworld. And in spite of being involved in money laundering, prostitution rings, and racketeering, illegal liquor sales, by the way, it was the era of prohibition, and murders like the 1929 St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and many other crimes, the authorities were continually confused by the multiple layers of Capone's activity. In fact, at one point in his infamous career, Al Capone's business card identified him, get this now, as a used furniture salesman. Yeah, right. The authorities knew he was the boss of the Chicago underworld, but they couldn't prove it. And like many modern mafia leaders today, Capone hid his criminal activities behind layers of pinstripe suits and legitimate businesses that made him respectable. In the end, Capone was sent to prison, get this now, for income tax evasion. And that was only because another Chicago mobster, Easy Eddie O'Hare, turned state evidence and testified against Capone. The state of confusion was finally cleared up when state's evidence and the famous Chicago mob boss was put away. Now, I want you to listen very carefully today because there's an ironic twist to this. Remember, his tactic was confusion. In an ironic twist, one writer noted that Capone spent the last years of his sentence in the prison hospital, get this now, confused and disoriented from the effects of syphilis which he contracted as a youth. In other words, the man who made a career of confusing the authorities ended up reaping the confusion that he had sown. Confusion always has a dangerous effect on one's ability to enforce the laws of the land. Or listen to this, or to live according to the spiritual laws of God's kingdom. Confusion does some things. Here's what it does. Confusion leads to indecision, frustration, passivity, and a lack of progress. And listen, guys, we know this is not God's will. How many of you know that? Passivity, which is everywhere today, is not the will of God. The Apostle Paul made it clear to the church at Corinth that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33. How many of you know that? Where there's confusion, it means that God is not first and foremost in that place, but rather He is the God of peace. The Christians at Corinth were so undisciplined in their exercise of spiritual gifts in their worship service. Here's what was happening. Chaos and confusion were the results of it. And Paul knew that this would reflect poorly on God Himself. If not non-Christians, if not so, then when they came into the service and they witnessed all this confusion, you know what it says in verse 23 there? It says, they would say, "Are you not mad?" I pray you've never been in any services like that where confusion reigns. I've been in a few and I don't want to be in anymore. You know, sometimes what people call the Spirit of God moving is really nothing other than a misuse and misrepresentation of the spiritual gifts of God, and it's called the Spirit-filled life. Now, it's just called confusion. But I want you to listen because that's not the message today. What is true in the church is true of our personal lives as well. Friends, if our lives are beset by confusion and disorder, won't people wonder about the God that we claim to worship? If every day we're just in a state of confusion and disorder? Won't they begin to wonder, hey, I thought you were a servant of God. What's going on? I thought God was your provider. I thought God was your healer. I thought God was everything. What kind of God would lead his followers into a state of confusion and disorder? Not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is for sure. Therefore, beloved, we got to make sure that the second of our usual suspects, confusion, is captured and put away for good. Can I hear an amen today?
Amen.
Now, if you remember last time, we talked about the modus operandi, or MO for short. When a witness in a trial turns state evidence, he is usually someone who has been accused of a crime himself. And here's what he does. He pulls back the curtain on the defendant's activity in order, there's a reason, in order to be given a lighter sentence when he or she goes to trial for their own crime. Here's what we want to do today. We want to turn evidence on the state of confusion. I want to turn up the lights, and what I want to do is I want to pull the curtain and expose the hidden MO. It means its operation by revealing to every one of us how confusion operates. Beloved, listen. We can capture confusion if we'll do it now. If we'll do it now before the damage is done. And I'm going to talk about our nation in just a moment. But let me tell you, every one of us are subject to a state of confusion today. And I'll explain how, and I'll show you what its running buddies are. But the best way to describe confusion's MO is to think of lawlessness. Now, the Bible says in the last days, lawlessness will prevail. I don't have time to preach some of the things that I want to preach and share with you today. But in a society or a community or a home or a church, did you hear that? Or a church or a personal life where no principles or rules exist, let me tell you what will reign. Confusion will reign supreme. And are we not seeing that more and more? I told someone the other day, in all of my 30 years of being, or longer now, being a Christian, I've never seen confusion and the things that follow that like I'm seeing it now. Never, ever. And I didn't think I would see it in my lifetime. The Bible tells us this, in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps my law, says the Lord. And in this verse, the word revelation refers to prophetic revelation or divine revelation. In other words, just to make it real simple, it refers to a word from God. Listen to me. Men, listen to me. Fathers, listen to me. We need to live by the Word of God. We not only need to live by the Word of God, and I pray this goes in, and you don't just say amen today. I pray you ramp it up a little bit and start living better than you have yesterday by God's Word. And not only do you need God's Word, hey, you can just sit down and read the Word, but you need a Word from God. You need a word on a regular basis. In other words, you need a revelation. Because people who don't have a revelation, according to this verse, they cast off all restraint. Listen, I'm not trying to go down on people today, but are we not seeing that today? People are just casting off all restraints. Now, think of the earlier chapters of Genesis when the earth was full of evil. This was after God's revelation was rejected in the Garden of Eden. And the whole earth, what happened? It developed into chaos, resulting in the great flood. That's what happened. And that's what's happening again. But I want you to hear me today, because this is not so much about America. This is not so much about casting off restraints as it is about our personal lives. Did you know that this can happen on a personal level? Did you know confusion and chaos can settle into our lives? Proverbs 25 and 28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls or without walls. I'm going to talk a little bit about being controlled by the Spirit today, the Spirit of God. You know, you have to clarify everything today when you talk about the Spirit. You know, I mean, people have all kinds of images of who you can serve, how you get to heaven. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of God that was there in the beginning when the earth was formed, when there was confusion. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls or with a city without walls. When we see a nation or an individual in a state of confusion, it is almost always because they have cast off God's principles and His rules and His laws for living. It's true. Confusion comes about because we've cast off all of our restraints. So confusion begins the same way it always has, with a voice in the ear. I want everyone to listen to me today, whether it's a little voice or a loud voice. And here's what this voice suggests. It suggests that we don't need to obey God's laws. Friends, listen to me, and I want to speak to the dads today. I want to speak to the fathers today. As soon as you hear that voice that contradicts the Word of God, you need to cast it off, and you need to cast it down, as the Bible says. You need to immediately head it off, and you need to dismiss it immediately. Can I hear someone say, it's so true? Because if you don't, beloved, listen. It is the precursor to a life of confusion. And it all began with this saying and with this word. Has God indeed said? Has God indeed said? Genesis 3 and 1. Folks, listen. Satan's tactics and way of doing things, it's not new. Now let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says that of God Himself, He said, I am the Lord God, I change not. So when a voice comes and says, well, because times have changed and society has changed, has God really, did He really mean what He said? Can I be very clear today? Yes. Did God mean, or did He change somewhere, you know, a few thousand years ago? No, God hadn't changed what He said. And let me tell you, here's where men and fathers get confused. We somehow or another believe that when God says we shouldn't do something, that it's because God's against us. It's because God is wanting to deprive us. No, let me tell you, just the opposite. Young people, you ought to listen to me too right now. You know, it's this time of year you start seeing that look on young people like, yeah, get this thing over with. I got life to do. You better listen to me today. When you go off to college, and when you go off to do whatever you're going to do, whether it's a career, whether it's a job, whatever, you need to know something. God has said some things. Just because American culture now is saying, has God really said? Twisting Scripture. Folks, listen, Satan hadn't come up with anything new since the beginning. He doesn't have to. When you and I said this earlier, and I may have said it last week, when we start reasoning with a voice in our head that says, has God really said? Can I not really? Come on, guys, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, God meant what He said. Now, this is not beat the guys up day, but I'll tell you what, I'm very concerned about what I'm seeing today in this state of confusion and all the things that are coming and accompanying that. You see, when we're confused, nothing works. And when nothing works, you need to catch this. You need to hear this. You know what happens? We get angry and we get frustrated. It should be a sign to me that when I am frustrated, when I am angry, that somehow or another confusion has come. Ladies, let me just clue you in about guys. And this can be true of ladies too. But let me just tell you. When you see a man who's frustrated, and let me tell you, there's every opportunity for frustration today. And when you see angry, rather than coming on him and getting down, you know, have you ever heard this saying, getting down in his throat? In other words, putting him in his place, you need to understand something. I said it earlier. It is not easy to be a man today. It's not easy to be a father today. Because men are geared a certain way. They want to be providers and they want to make progress. Let me tell you, in this bad economy, let me tell you, it's making it 10 times tougher on men. And what happens, confusion can settle in if they're not very careful. And what accompanies confusion? Frustration and anger. And so what happens? He comes home, he's angry. And I'm not justifying anger. I'm just telling you how to identify it and what it is. Come on, don't come all over him. I've been cooking, I've been working too. Man up! Boy, a man likes to hear that. Man up! Man you up. And then Trent has to come. Confusion. Anger. And frustration. You remember when I began this series, we talked about fingerprints. And I know this is an easy target, and I think I've probably already spent too much time on it, but I got to do this for just a moment. I need to take aim at the United States of America, because confusion's fingerprints are all over our beloved nation. From the days of the founding of our fathers until today, the Bible has been little by little been moved from the fringe of our culture. God's revelation has been ignored and it's been set aside. And here's what has replaced it: the principles of human reasoning. Man, sometimes I just want to go to Washington. I want to say, guys, gals, don't you know what God says about indebtedness? I'm trying not to get too wound up today, but I'm concerned about America. And that's not the message either. But let me tell you, the way you want to know why there's so much confusion today? We're trying to operate out of human reasoning instead of God's principles and God's words. And what are we doing? Little by little, we're moving God to the fringes of our culture. And so God's revelation is being set aside. So confusion's fingerprints are everywhere. How many of you know they can be in our morality, in our economies, our marriage, in the family, politics? Man, we see it everywhere. Yes, even in certain sectors of the Christian community. I fear for the future if God's revelation is not reestablished. If there is anything that I get discouraged about today, it's how God is. I never thought I would see it just being set aside. Satan's coming and whispering and says, has God really said? I could get on some of my pet things that really disturb me or concern me right now. But we're just setting God aside a little bit. Folks, listen, when Satan comes to tempt us, he doesn't come with all his forces. He just comes little bit, by little bit, by little bit. Here, a little there. And the next thing you know, man, what's happened? Next thing you know, you've forgotten about God, and confusion and anger has reestablished itself in your life. You see, confusion replaced by impulsive and unrestrained judgments will result in that person's life. Here's an illustration. It's like a fog that rolls in from the ocean and silently conceals every corner of a sleepy fishing village. Confusion eventually occupies every nook and cranny of one's life when God's principles are ignored. And then you remember we talked about the partners in crime. What accompanies confusion? Well, Isaiah 45 and 16 says shame and disgrace accompany confusion. Jeremiah 20 and 11 says stumbling and failure accompany confusion. How about this one in Acts 19 and 29? It says unreasonable and unlawful behavior accompanies it. I mean, we could go on and on and on. James chapter 3 talks about envy and self-seeking. Ultimately, let me tell you what's going to happen if we don't stop confusion. Defeat is the end result of confusion. And I said it earlier. What characterizes a defeated person? Anger and frustration. Now here's the reality. All of us have been there at some point in time in our lives. Have we not? I have. So anything I'm saying to you today, I'm saying to me. I started getting this last Monday. All of us have been there. All of us had to deal with confusion. All of us have to deal with frustration and anger. Is that not true? But if we see these traits in our lives, if we're dealing with confusion, if we're constantly, daily dealing with anger and frustration, let me tell you, you know what we're looking at in the mirror? We're looking at confusion, which is one of the enemies of the cross. And beloved, here's what we have to do. We must take time to align our thinking with God's Word. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 say? He says, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I know I say this a lot, and it may sound like I'm being very simplistic, but this book is the answer. This book is the answer. And I try to think of creative ways to say it and ways to motivate people. There really is no other way to capture these enemies that we're talking about than through the Word of God. See, today we've become very, very shallow in our thinking and very shallow in our understanding of the Word. And we may not think it's that big a deal, but it is. Let me tell you, confusion will come in. And when we don't know God's Word, the enemy can easily come and say, has God really said? Well, I don't know. I talked to the guys at work and they said it wasn't really that way. But it is that way. Folks, how many of you, I want you to see the love of God and the heart of God that's going out to every one of you today. I want you to see that. But I also want you to see the deviousness of the enemy and how he will come and he will cause confusion in your life. And it's because sometimes we just don't know God's principles and we don't know God's Word. That's the reason Jesus said when he returned to the earth, he said, will I find faith on the earth when I come? You remember we talked about lawlessness. Jesus said lawlessness will abound. How is it that we're going to be what God wants us to be when He comes back? We're going to have to know this Bible inside and out. I mean, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus. How about Genesis, the beginning? We're going to have to know it. Because God's principles are there. And when you read God's Word, you see these principles. And then when the enemy comes, you're just like Jesus. You're able to know the Word and you're able to say, now that is a lie. That's going to get me in trouble. That's going to lead me off the pathway that God has for my life. And you're able to combat the enemy's voice and you're able to combat confusion with God's Word. And then we talked about the hideouts. Now the best place to look for the seeds of confusion and its partners in crime is in the arena of self-discipline and self-control. Come on, everybody. You see, I don't know how else to say this, but in a society where lawlessness is abounding, to talk about self-discipline and self-control, it's like, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. Because Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let this be an encouragement to you. Because I know sometimes we struggle with the reality. Can I really control my desires? Can I really control who I am and what I am? See, we've bought into some of these things. We call some of these things that are really a lack of self-control and self-discipline, we now call them diseases. Like that disease can do what it wants. Let me tell you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have been filled with His Spirit, you can operate in self-discipline and self-control. Now, I know this is, some of you won't remember this, but how many of you do remember Flip Wilson? You just told how old you are. You know what Flip Wilson said? The devil made me do it. Now, folks, really, I'm being real for a moment. The devil cannot make us do anything we don't want to do. Don't buy into these things that you see on TV. I just can't control myself. I just have no self-discipline. That's just who I am. No, it's not who you are. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, is the devil coming and saying again later in your life, which he will do, he will revisit your life and he will try to twist Scripture and he'll say, has God said? You know, you're this age. That was then. You know, you can kind of control these things now. You're a little more mature. Has God really said? Yes, God has really said when you were 10, when you were 20, 30, 40, 50, and 70. He doesn't change. God has said it. When he gave the Ten Commandments, he meant it. But it was for our own good. It's for our own good. Amen. Somebody said, I'm going home and I'm going to get that Bible out and I'm going to read that thing from cover to cover this afternoon. Well, it wouldn't hurt you to try that. But folks, listen, and we do forget this. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're a believer in some other God, I don't have any promises for you. But if you are, and God's Spirit has come into you, and you are surrendering and submitting and allowing the Holy Spirit to daily fill you and guide you, I promise you, when that voice comes, when that temptation comes, if you want to, you can say no to it. Come on, let's give God a praise. Man, you are an overcomer. I know his voice. I know he tries to convince us, well, you just don't have it anymore. Oh, yeah, you do. But see, if you're grieving the Spirit of God by not immediately, and here's a real key, confessing your sins, and by not daily living in prayerful submission to the authority of God and His Word, let me tell you what's waiting for you. Confusion is hiding just around the corner. And there's nothing more confusing than confusion. I know this is a serious message, but you can loosen up and laugh just a little bit. Now, I'm going to tell you, confusion is very subtle, and it'll try to sneak up on you like that fog. And the next thing you know, you wake up someday and you say, where am I? What's going on? How did I get here? Because there's a devil who is still alive and well. Though we live in a society that doesn't want to think that demons are real and that the devil is real, let me tell you, he's still real and he's still saying the same thing. Has God really said? Oh, how I'm tempted to get on some of my little pet things right now, but I won't. You see, don't let the spiritual discipline or the lack of it there open you up to a place of confusion. And then there are those weak spots. Here is how you know when confusion's working. Here's what happens. Passivity starts settling. Oh, you mean, oh, church, what? What? Working? VBS? Working with the church? I did that. I'm done, man. Passivity sets in. Praying? I don't have to pray. I've arrived at a place of spirituality. Read the Word. Man, I read the Word for 30 years, cover to cover. I know the Word. Oh, yeah? Well, studies say you've forgotten about 95% of what you heard 2 weeks ago. That's the reason the Bible says renew your mind daily. Besides, I go down to Church on the Rock and I hear this fiery preacher and his sermons have enough fire in them to carry me through the next 3 weeks. So I don't need all that stuff. Oh, some of you could have had some stars on your crown just then. There's one or two over here. Because let me tell you, passivity and complacency and even spiritual laziness allow your spiritual discipline to become undisciplined or allows you to become undisciplined. I know you said read the Word, Pastor, but I just don't feel anything when I read the Bible. Get over it. Just because you live in a society that everything is designed to stir your sensual nature, get over it. You mean I have to read about all those bloody sacrifices? Let's get the record straight. You don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. But I'm telling you, the option, and you're going to see it more and more in this world, is confusion. It's a state of confusion. God bless, some of you have to work around people who are confused every day. And because they're confused, because they've set aside God's laws and principles and think they're their own law, they're frustrated and they're angry all the time. God bless you. But I'm preaching to me too. I have days where I'm angry. And I have days where I'm frustrated. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use this for my own good and realize, hey, that's a sign that confusion's trying to settle in. And I got to make sure that I'm not ignoring God's principles or God's word in any way. The Apostle James said it best. In James chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Hey, let me tell you something, folks. God is a gracious God. And you may look at a younger Christian and say, how can they do that and still be blessed? They're so blessed, everything they do. Because they don't know it yet. But it's when we know to do good and we don't do it, listen, that's when it becomes sin. Everybody say, ouch. Let me just say this, because I've already told you we can do this. If you know that self-discipline is a weak spot in your life, today, not tomorrow, not next week, I want you to strengthen that spot before confusion sets in. We're seeing it, aren't we? We're seeing it in our culture. We're seeing it in our society. People just don't know what to do. You see interviews. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. That's confusion. And let me tell you, as believers, this world may go crazy. It probably will before the Lord returns. But let me tell you what God's going to give to you and me. Peace. Peace. And I will tell you this, I'll be very real with you. What I could do a few years ago to stay in peace, I can't do now. It takes more effort. It takes more discipline. The older I get as a human and the older I get in the Lord, some of you say, well, you know, you get a few years under your belt, it gets easier. No. It requires more discipline. It requires more saying no, flesh. It takes more of saying, God, I'm going to carry my cross today because my life is about people and it's not mine. I've been bought with a price. It's about people. And so, I don't want any of us to encounter confusion. I'm sad about our nation. In fact, I could cry right now. God's got a word for all of us, and that is if we return to His divine revelation, if we turn to His Word, I tell you, America could start healing tomorrow. The nations of the world that are in turmoil. What about Afghanistan? What about Iran? What about Libya? What about the nations of the world? If they would turn to God, the true and the living God, let me tell you, confusion could be cleared up. And I'm going to close with this by God's grace. And how many of you know one day all the confusion will be cleared up? Because Daniel says that after all the kingdoms of the earth have come and they've all gone, there's going to be this one great stone which represents the kingdom of God. And it's going to come out of the sky. And when God says it's time, it's time. And it's going to come and it's going to smash all these other kingdoms. And this stone, which is the kingdom of God in the earth, is going to grow. And it's going to grow. And it's going to grow. And it's going to get bigger. And guess what? All the confusion is going to leave the earth. That's what the Bible says. So if you say, where'd you get that? I didn't get it from Nostradamus. I got it from the Bible. The book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? I know this bothers people sometimes when you say it. With all the chaos in the world, God's still in control. But we have a responsibility to control our own lives. Amen? I think I've probably said all I need to say today. I want us to stand. And I want to pray with us. You know, what I can't say today, the Spirit of God can say to you. And what I can't give you, which is really not much, The Spirit of God can give it to you today. I'm just a messenger, and I'm going to believe God right now. We're going to leave this place, male, female, young, old. We're going to leave this place recognizing confusion as an enemy. And we're going to arrest it, and we're going to capture it, and we're going to put it where it belongs. How do we do it? By bringing every thought captive to the Word of Christ. Don't say you can't do it, because you can. You can do it. When those thoughts come, don't reason with them. Don't rationalize. Don't reason with them. Say, no, I'm not going to do it. In fact, get back in its face and say, that's ludicrous. That's crazy. Take that out of here. Speak to it. And then go do something productive. Amen? All right, let me pray for you. Father, I pray right now. Father, I pray, number one, as we submit our lives to you, that God, confusion is going to be destroyed in our lives. Father, I pray for every man, every father, every person in this place today, that there would not be confusion in their lives in any way. But Lord God, you would bring peace where there's been confusion. Father, sometimes all we need to do is just be disciplined in reading the Word, and life won't be as complicated. Lord, sometimes all we need to do is just be connected with some other believers. But I pray you help every one of us. I speak to confusion and I say, you're going in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray you speak to the storms and you cause peace to come like you are so good at doing, Father. We give you praise and we give you honor for this in Jesus' name.